Blog Talk Radio.
So how's it going, Doc? It looks like you're working pretty hard here.
Just hold on a sec.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we need the soapbox really, really sturdy. I don't want to fall off of it at the end of the show.
I think
that's good enough. What do you think?
I'm having some technical difficulties with it. Just 1 second.
The carpenter has lost his mind.
Okay, you can stop now.
I'm trying to, but the union won't let me.
This is why you don't get carpenters. Methamphetamine.
Oh, bro, this isn't good. Okay.
Don't be angry!
I'm trying.
This is evolving.
Nothing's responding here.
I've ever heard. I'm taking an almost Andy Kaufman-esque joy in this.
It's mighty
this is
now.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you. Okay.
Don't you
I finally got
a
union. I won't. I finally got the union approval to stop. All right. Safe to go ahead.
Okay. Well, you're wondering what this is all about. First, I'd like to say hello to everyone. This is Carl from Carl's Cavern. And my expert builder there is my producer, and that would be Doc. Say hello, Doc.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have Chrissy along with us. Hello, Chrissy.
Hello, darlings.
Ah, nice. So, excuse me, I have to step up on the soapbox here.
Don't fall.
Jesus, I need my walker. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about tonight, and this is personal for me, in the community of LGBTQIA, I was told to put those letters in for my good friend Tom Hartman and be correct, okay? You know, we are celebrating Pride Month, and, of course, today is the 50th anniversary of Stonewall Rights, and the community has come a long way. I spent this afternoon at the Gay Senior Center in Queens, visiting my friend Richard and a couple people there that I know, had lunch there. You know, the acceptance of the community has just been astronomical in the last 50 years, what has happened. However, there are many things that I see that still are, you know, pose difficulty. And I mean, you see it in any group, whether, you know, it would be the gay community, whether it would be, you know, the politicians that were on stage last night, or, you know, whatever the case, in churches, in workplaces, there are always divisions. And the thing that I always say is, if you're in a community, you have to realize that everybody there shares in a shared goal. And you may not agree with everyone or everyone of a type or whatever, but these divisions that we see need to stop. And we need to take a step back and look at the real goal that the gay community wants to achieve. And what is that goal? What do you think that goal is, Chrissy? What would you say that goal is?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, I guess ultimately, beyond just a standard political answer, would be acceptance. I mean, like, actually, for this not to be a controversy. Like, to not wake up and exist as a controversy every day. I mean, yes, on the one hand, it's all exciting and all that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, it's like there's a lot of stress that goes with it. I mean, you know, the encounter I mentioned earlier today where I caught a couple of kids trying to take my picture and they giggled and ran off when I caught them at it. You know, that's, I understand I don't look normal, but there's a way to handle things and a little more, I don't know, something, you know?
Well, respect.
Maybe not. Yeah, that would be nice.
Respect.
Basic acknowledgement of that we're real, that we're not just a bunch of deviants or a bunch of just attention seekers. I mean, I'm a Leo
right.
rising. Don't get me wrong. I love attention, but there's more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wouldn't feel comfortable expressing myself this way if it was just for attention, you know? If it wasn't a natural
mm-hmm.
thing to me.
Right. I agree. So, Doc, what do you think?
Well, I think it'd be an actual sense of peace and unity with everybody in the community. Because I've seen it personally that, you know, there's, let's say, you have someone who's gay and then there's somebody who's bi. You know, they don't, you know, they have different preferences, but yet there's a lot of people in the community that, you know, don't feel that by individuals are, you know, should be actually part of the community, but they should be. It's really,
or gender fluid.
There's a lot of, or gender fluid, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a lot of nitpicking, and it just needs to stop, and you have to look at everybody and go, hey, you're one of us. We're all here on this planet. We're all pretty much made of the same squishy stuff. And we're all human for the most part, you know, we just can't get along.
Well, you know, that,
and we all like
that
to do squishy
thing,
stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to get into, if you don't mind me taking it back. So, one of the things about me, okay, when I was growing up, I always seemed to be caught in the middle. You know, my brother and my sister have been fighting ever since I can remember, and they're still fighting over an estate, and we won't get into that. But when we were on trips and I was the youngest, I was in between them. So I was basically the demilitarized zone. My mother, for years, called me her little diplomat because I had to find a way to traverse this very, very difficult area between the two of them. And because, you know, they're hitting each other, guess who the fuck gets hit more than either one of them? I'm in the middle. Guess who? You know, or whatever the case would be. You know, so I've always had this situation where, you know, somehow I had to make peace. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Peace is not an easy thing to achieve. Okay? It's not. It's a choice, and it's very difficult. Would you agree with that, guys? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Jesus got killed for that shit, right?
Exactly. And so we take a look at the different, you know, the differences in the gay community. And one of the comments I got today is you have, you know, the gays that you know, want to be married and have the middle class life, the white picket fence gays, so to speak. Is what my friends called them. You have, you know, more activists. You have all these different types of people within the community. But the one thing that doesn't seem to really get through is that there has to be an overarching goal for everyone. And that goal should be simply that you exist without anybody blinking an eye. That's the best way I could put it. That it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, transgender. that we're all accepted and we're all human. We have this, we all need to connect. And we all, you know, and you get a lot of this pushback in the gay community against the transgenders or the indeterminates or, you know, gender fluids. And you know what? When it comes right down to it, oh, they're too expressive, you know. We're more conservative or whatever the case. I don't care. We have to come to a point where everyone is accepting and understands that the goal is for the community to progress and be accepted throughout, you know, the whole of the United States. That's a very difficult thing to do. And if you don't bond together and you go off into separate factions and you put yourself in a, you know, different hole than everyone else, then what you do is you separate yourself. You separate yourself from people that can help you. Separate yourself in terms of what your goals are. And suddenly, not only have you separated yourself, you've made enemies. And what this comes down to, more than anything else, is fear. Look at what we do. Look at how people, you know, the Republicans, you know, they're against God, or, you know, the conservative Christians. Or, you know, it's all about fear. Oh, you know, if we accept them, then this is going to happen. That's going, you know.
Slippery slope, yeah.
Fuck that. You have no clue. And all you have to do is talk to somebody, you know, and not yell and not be afraid. You know, years and years ago, you know, I don't bring up politics too much, but, you know, one of the greatest quotes in American politics is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And that would be, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Because fear divides us. And acceptance and love can keep us united in a goal. Doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everyone. God knows that's the case. You know, and it'll always be the case. But you deal with differences with a sense of respect, a sense of listening. When was the last time you listened to someone on the other side, whatever that other side is? You really listened. Because, you know, anti-gay bias is fucking taught. It's not ingrained in someone's blood. So how do you unteach someone? By listening and by conversation and by debate, not by yelling and calling someone a fuckface. And those are things that I think we really miss. You know, now I've gone on for a good 5 minutes, guys. Do you want to let's get some feedback? Chrissy, go ahead.
Okay, can I be a semi-devil's advocate here?
Absolutely, go ahead.
I think that, this is a conversation we had in preparation for this show, that, you know, that we each of us have to make a judgment call on when to compromise and when not to compromise, because compromise is not necessarily a dirty word. It depends on the context, you know, and compromise is not necessarily capitulation either. But at some point, the room for, I think, friendly debate or whatever does hit a battle line. I think at some point the friendly debate can't continue. You know, it depends on the issue. It depends on where you are in talking about the issue. If someone is having a perfectly reasonable conversation with you, then maybe it's not time to draw a battle line. But there are places where you have to, I mean, especially when it comes down to something that is such a hardcore moral issue like this, there is room for debate and there is room for discussion, but there's also room for, this is no longer productive, and now we have to fight. And I think I'd like to think that my usual approach to this. Now, I have occasionally been known to be combative, but my usual approach is to base my escalation on the other person's escalation. So usually if I have something to say on Facebook, if I have something to disagree with on something, I'll usually say, well, here's, you know, whatever. I'll just calmly say my thought. And then if the other person responds back in kind, then it's like, okay, we can have a dialogue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets – we get to, say, like the large scale with the government, there are a lot of people – in the government, and I'm not going to go into naming names and making this too political, but who and even outside the government, just power players generally who have a vested interest in the way things go, there are a lot of people that are firmly entrenched, are not going to budge. And those are people that people on my end of the spectrum, and I don't mean specifically LGBTQ, but just progressive-minded people generally. Those are people that we have no choice but to draw battle lines with and find ways to combat, because their shields are down, their armor's on, their lance is up, they're going to joust.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I'm actually, most of what you said, I really do agree with, but I feel the need to insert that it is okay to draw battle lines when you're at that point. And of course, that itself is room for debate among those of us on this end of the spectrum.
Right, and when is that battle line, or, you know,
right.
And that differs from person to person. We'll get into that in a moment.
Right, which
Doc,
is where
what
we
are your
dialogue
thoughts
and
on
not
it?
Division.
Yeah.
Hate and fear of people and who they are and what they are is not a natural occurrence, like we spoke about earlier. It is a learned or sometimes forced idea. I work with children 5 days a week, except for summers, because I work in the education system. And I have seen in little kids, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, not having an ounce of fear or trepidation about each other, getting along, holding hands, playing on the playground, and not caring about color, race, religion, orientation. It's taught by parents. It's taught by, you know, other family members. It's taught by the media. The media is the worst one right now. For teaching negativity.
Society in general.
And this one. Society in general. There are some bastions of innocence, and those are our little ones. And I'll tell you what. When I grew up, my family always told me, be accepting of everyone until they hurt you, and then that's it. But if somebody hurts you, it's not everybody from a certain group. It's just that one person. That
right.
One person is a jerk, not everybody. It's not that hard of a concept, and it would be wonderful if all these people who have these issues would just kind of wait, would just sit down for a moment and go, where did my negative ideas come from? Maybe I had a negative experience with one person. It's that one person, not the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm asking for people who are listening or anybody out there is just to take a deep breath, reassess your situation, reassess why you have these negative feelings, and just let them go. That's it. And we can get along a lot better. So there.
Yeah,
wow.
I would agree with
you
that.
You mind if I bounce off that for a second, Carl?
Go right ahead.
That makes me think specifically. I have, I tend to have an inordinate, well, I don't know how inordinate it is, or I think it is, varies, but I tend to have a large amount of bitterness about the Christian religion. And yes, there are some very legitimate reasons to be angry, at least at some manifestations of Christianity, but when you mentioned thinking of maybe if it's one person or one event that triggered that, that made me think that there is a very specific person in my life, a very fundamental person in my life that I can point a lot of my bitterness towards religion at. And so that's, you know, just interesting food for thought there.
Okay. So the question is this, okay? So you could point to this one person, okay? And they instilled this bitterness. But I know you well enough that things have changed and you have made a decision somehow to look elsewhere or find another way.
Yes.
correct? This is
yes,
what
well, I have
now,
found another way, yes.
Tell a story here.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want this very clear, and then we're going to talk about identity in a little later.
Sure.
But I grew up with cerebral palsy. I had braces on until I was 8 years old. The doctor said I would never walk, okay? My mother basically told the doctors, fuck you, and fought for me and found doctors that would work with me. And I feel that God certainly put his slash her hand on me, and I'm able, you can hardly tell I have a problem now. But when I was growing up, and particularly in high school, since I was not athletic, since I was in a very, very redneck town by the name of Bradford, and you're well aware of that town, Doc. You're not too far
from
it.
Oh, yes.
And all this, I was always beat up. I was always put down. And so there was this one point in my life. I am walking. Nobody's bothering me. You know, I'm not bothering anyone. And I'm just walking home. And a guy comes up and basically pushes me down and kicks me and starts laughing at me with his girlfriend there. And I got up like I always did. I never stayed down. That's another story. And I said something really smart. One nice thing is you get to a point where if your only real defense is your mouth, you get pretty goddamn good at it, you know, yelling shit. And so I said something, and I made his girlfriend just crack up. And he walked away, you know. But I said to myself at that particular point, I said, I will never, ever treat anyone like that, and I will always look at the differences, and I will always treat people with respect. It's how do you react to abuse? How do you react to these things? There are two ways of doing it. Either you know, and they've had studies on this as far as abuse is concerned, that you know, you either become an abuser or you do the exact opposite. I was able somehow to be able to do the exact opposite. And what happened there was that it came to me over a period of time that I'm an empath. Now, Chrissy and I talk about this a lot. Do you know what an empath is, Doc?
Yes, I do. It's a person who can read other people's feelings without even asking them. Partially read thoughts every once in a while, and some can feel auras, some can see auras.
Well, basically, I make it real simple. Okay, for me, being an empath is I look at people, and I try innately to understand where they're coming from and what might be the situations where they would come up with their thoughts and their stands on certain things. And generally, you can use that in terms of if you're having difficulty with somebody. And I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Being an empath is tiring beyond belief.
Yes, it is.
It's extremely tiring because you are always looking at somebody else. You are always trying to understand them. And you're trying in such a way that you give them respect even when you disagree completely with them, that you try to be respectful, that you try not to be angry, that you try not to yell and scream at somebody and call them a fucking idiot. And let me tell you something, that's fucking hard.
Yep.
Now, Chrissy, I know we talked about this earlier today in prep for the show. What are your thoughts on being an empath? Because you also are an empath.
For me, part of it is I am keenly aware of how other people might emotionally respond to something. And that makes, a lot of time, it makes it harder for me to stand up for myself or be assertive because I'm afraid of inducing a negative reaction to somebody else. And part of being an empath for me is just, it's so tense sometimes being constantly hyper aware of other people's emotions. And this has a lot of dovetail with my autism too. So you can imagine I'm a very sensitive individual when it comes to other human beings. Very sensitive.
Right.
You know, and so that makes me, when I'm not one of my just raging combative modes, which has been known to happen, makes me generally a lot less apt to engage because I'm going to be very sensitive to the negative energy that is generated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yes, it's exhausting. It's tiring because, I mean, do you know spoon theory?
Yeah, I'm familiar with spoon
okay.
theory, but why don't you explain that to our
okay, listeners? Right. Basically, it's an analogy that you have however many spoons to get through the day, and some really bad shit, like, say, catching a couple of kids laughing at you and trying to take your picture, that might kick half your spoons out of your drawer in one fell swoop, and you have a lot less spoons to get through the day. And other days, not much happens, or you might have a really good encounter and somebody adds spoons to your drawer. You know, but that's the general idea. Well, being an empath uses up a lot of spoons.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're
and
not just having to navigate.
Also,
yeah. Yeah,
that's
go.
One thing also about empaths is that we tend to be introverts, or at least we're extroverts.
Oh, yeah.
Introverts. Okay,
yes.
Because we need to recharge.
Oh yeah.
A lot. You know? So I bring this up, okay, for one other reason. Okay. So Chrissy, you just basically in the last 2 or 3 months have discovered that you're gender fluid, okay? And you know, acknowledge that fact and you identify as gender fluid. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. In that identity, when somebody attacks that identity, how do you react?
Well, I have to say, for the most part, I've been lucky in not having been suffered much in the way of personal attacks.
Right.
In a couple of instances, like the kids or maybe a nasty encounter on social media. But even when I see things happen nationally or read about someone in the LGBTQ community getting attacked for that or all the anti-LGBTQIA stuff that has been happening just over and over again with this administration, I tend to take that stuff personally. Or something that really, what really gets me is I befriended someone recently because they posted a meme that was two little boys, you know, and the thought balloon on one of them was like, hey, did you hear there's now 56 genders? And the other kid said, no, there's only 2 genders and 54 mental disorders.
Yeah. Well, now that could piss you off.
I didn't go off, but I was really offended. And you know me, I'm the kind of person that generally says, fuck you if you're offended by this, you know, but
right.
Generally me being offensive is just shooting at sacred cows. I'm not saying hurtful shit like that. And that's attacking my very identity. That is attacking the thing that finally gave me self-love. I never loved myself until I embraced this. I never had this kind of confidence until I embraced this. I never had this kind of happiness until I embraced this. And I still have days of questioning myself. It's like, is this for real? Are you just doing this for attention? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure that's probably pretty normal for anybody in my little neck of the gender woods or whatever, anybody in the rainbow community generally. But so I'm already doubting myself. You know, I'm already dealing with that kind of shit. And then some ignorant asshole wants to completely and insultingly invalidate my identity. Even if it's not aimed directly at me, when you target that, you're targeting me.
Right.
That's very hurtful.
And that happens a lot. You get that type of hatred and get that type of consequential.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. Now, Doc, I'm going to kick it over to you. Of course, I'm very aware that you are not part of the community, and that. But is there anything that you identify with that you say you belong to?
I belong to the human race, which is full of everybody.
Okay,
that's a good answer.
Okay, which shows an inclusiveness. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
But when I say that, I say it with difficulty because of the way people act so negatively, and I also have a problem personally with my personality. Because of what I do as a career, I can't fully express myself. You know, like what I really enjoy doing, you know, how creative I really can be. But because of the career, I have to be so vanilla, it drives me crazy. But that also keeps me out of trouble too. But it's just like one of these days, like, I want to go, hello, this is what I do. Can I be accepted for it? No, it's not to the point, it's not anything with, you know, the with the community. It's just my certain aspects of my personality. I feel like I'm not whole because I can't let those parts of me out, which actually happen to be pretty darn funny and very, very sarcastic and kind of dark sometimes because of what I do.
And certainly there are people you can do that with. I know your humor a lot better than most because we're on the phone a lot and that sort of thing. But the reason I bring up identity, okay, is that, of course, in the rainbow community, there are many identities. And so we have a tendency when we say this is our identity, maybe we don't exclude, but we don't count the other identities as big as the community that we belong to. We have a tendency, and this is true in religion, this is true in almost any community, that our group of friends, our church, our group within the rainbow community, those are the ones that I identify with, and those are the important ones. Now, here I am. I'm in a situation which is interesting. So, being a podcaster, being a church musician, all this sort of thing, I take a look. And so there are many people that would look at me that we're doing all these podcasts and people that know that I'm involved. I'm living with a close friend of mine that's gay, and I say, oh, well, he's gay. Okay. There are also people that know me that know that I was married, know that I'm attracted to women, and say, well, you know, he's straight. And then there are those that understand both that he's bi or, you know, whatever. But people have a tendency to put you into the specific without getting to know you, right? So you know what I identify with as? I'm Carl. I'm one of a kind. I'm not anything that you expect. Okay, and that is something that I think if we step away from the group and understand our self-worth and our individuality and then look forward into the people around us, I think we have a better chance of understanding everyone. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Chrissy?
Yes.
Chrissy, are you there?
Yeah. Did you? I just said yes. Did you not? Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I didn't hear.
Yeah, we didn't hear.
Okay, yeah,
a little signal blip there. Sorry about that.
This makes me think of something. My gender fluid girlfriend, anatomically female. IDs more, well, feels more male anyway. We're a yin yang, let me tell you. At one point, she said that she considered herself, gender neutral, and that really she just liked to think of herself in terms of being human. Sort of like you said earlier, Doc.
Right.
And the thing is, the reason we're categorized, it's kind of like, well, these are the categories you put on us because this is the thing that you picked to have a problem with, and so this is how you're identifying with us, so we're having to push back with this ID that you put on us. Like I said, think of a different culture that had a totally different set of gender roles, maybe 5, 6, whatever, because we seem to forget that the binary gender role is not the only way it's always been. That's how we've done it, and that's how we impose it and teach it to other people. Like you were talking about it being these attitudes being learned, not innate, because this is something that culture has a role in, So ultimately, this goes back to the peace we talked about and the acceptance. It's like you're a human, I'm a human, and instead of putting us all in boxes, like, what am I? I'm a boy on the outside, a girl on the inside. I like girls, so am I straight? Am I a lesbian? Am I both? Am I neither? At the end of the day, it's you have to quit parsing things.
Yeah. And that's what I think I'm getting to. Because we as humans have this, it's more than a tendency. It's like we have to put things in boxes, right? And
yes.
To me, that's where we really, really make a mistake. Nobody is in a box because everyone is individual. At least that's my thought. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Categorizing one person, a person as one thing is absolutely utterly ridiculous because we are, it's almost like with the Legion, we are many. Somebody thought I was, a country bumpkin. Well, yeah, I'm a country bumpkin who's also can be a yuppie, extreme metalhead, a nerd, a goth, a jazz fan. There's so many different facets to our personalities and who we are that it could be 100 different categories, just not a box.
Right.
Right?
Right. None of those are definitive.
Exactly.
And the thing is, by putting people in boxes, and listen, to all my listeners, part of the Rainbow community, we all do this, and you do this, okay? That certain view, the transgender people are this or that, or bi's really aren't part of us, or whatever the case. You know what? Until you really, really get to know somebody and understand what forces drove them to be who they are, because outside forces always put us in the boxes that we either are stuck in or we break through. Until you get to know someone and that sort of thing on the opposite side or whatever the case would be, then you're just making the same mistake that everyone else does. Oh, and by the way, Doc, just as an aside, please check your messages. I just messaged you something.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Well, and it's a form of shooting ourselves in the foot, too, because say, for example, the gay people, it's like, well, the gays and lesbians belong here, but, none of this bisexual bullshit, none of this spectrum stuff. That's reinforcing the binary that we're trying to get away from. The whole point of this is that it's a spectrum. of orientation or of gender or both or whatever. You know, and when you take this attitude, not only is it the basic, you know, divided house cannot stand against, or a divided house will not stand, you know, it's just the issue of you're reinforcing the enemy's viewpoint when you do that.
Right.
And yes, I know enemy is probably the worst word to use in this context, but just say enemy in terms of whatever ideological force we're having to fight against, whatever we're having to push back against. The point being is we're reiterating what we're trying to tear down. It's like we're hammering nails into the edifice that we're trying to destroy. It's like, look, you need to be the wrecking ball or you need to be the carpenter, not both. And if you can talk it into taking itself apart without using the wrecking ball, which is basically what you're advocating, Carl, even better.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't help that you're basically passing on the bigotry that you're receiving from the establishment. You're just passing it on to other people. It's similar to the dark skinned black being prejudiced against the light skinned black, or vice versa. It's the same principle.
Well, I will tell you this. I just messaged Doc with I've forgotten to get it to him. I hope he can put it down. But there's a song that talks about this that I'd like to end the show with. But you're very right on that. And see, this is what happens. I said before that prejudice is taught. And there are two filmic versions I want to talk about. One is very simple. If you saw the movie 42, which is a biopic on Jackie Robinson, the Philadelphia manager of the time, I forget his name, was very, very prejudiced. And it focuses on this relationship. But one of the things that they show is Jackie Robinson at a ballpark, and a young boy, and you hear his father, and I'm going to say the word, people, because I need to say the word. You hear the father say nigger, and then the boy picks it up and starts, you know, yelling. And we have to realize that we teach people, we teach young people by our attitudes. And this is how this cycle of hatred moves on from generation to generation. The second movie I want to talk about very briefly, and then I'll get it back to you guys. There's a movie that Sam Fuller did in the early 80s called White Dog.
Oh,
and
that movie, goodness.
Yeah. And that is a movie that was called racist, but if you watch the movie, it's extremely anti-racist.
It's about racism.
And it's about, you know, it's about how racism destroys. And so you have this beautiful dog that this girl finds, and it is a white dog, okay? So it's a white husky, I think it is. And she finds out that it's been trained to attack black people. She takes it to these two trainers, one of which is black, played by Paul Winfield. And they try to teach the dog, unteach the dog. And it goes on from there, and it does not end well. Let's just leave it at that. And so when we take a look at racism, when we take a look at hatred toward the LGBT, when we take a look at the conservative Christians and their view of Christianity, what you are doing is you are teaching hate. And I'm going to take it one step further. Okay, if I identify as anything, I identify as two things. One is handicapped, but the other one is as progressive Christian. Progressive Christian takes a look at how Christ lived his life and what he did. And what did Christ do? He accepted the other. On last week's program with Kit Cherry and Doug Blanchard, I made the comment, I remember during the AIDS crisis, when I said to somebody, somebody said something like, well, the gays are getting what, you know, what they deserve. And I said to them, you know what? If Christ came down today, the first place he would go is to a gay bar. Because you know what? They're the ones that are most, at this point in time, this is the 80s, prejudiced against. And he would accept them. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So I look, and this is, again, being an empath, too. So even if someone is a conservative Christian and I have difficulties, and I have a couple of good conservative Christian friends that have been able to at least been able to agree to disagree, right? You know, you give those people respect and that sort of thing, and you don't throw back the hate. And it's one of the most difficult things to do. It really fucking is. And so I'm going to get it back to you, Chrissy, in terms of what I just talked about, and see what your response is.
Wow, man. I actually have a hard time falling on the heels of that. I can't... I guess what jumped out at me the most, you were talking about you have a couple of good conservative Christian friends and don't take issue with it for what, or, you know, and what, anyway, it's not an issue. I have a couple of really good conservative Christian friends, and to me, they're being Christians by dint of that acceptance. That's Christianity. Even if they don't agree with it, at least they're accepting me. They're not rejecting me because of this one facet of my personality.
Right.
You know, and that's really where it starts right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like I said, you know, what box does somebody want to put you in without knowing,
right,
it, without taking the time to understand? You know,
well, and that's where this whole pride thing came from. It's like, you're going to put us in this box? Fine. We are going to rock the shit out of this box. We're going to glitter the fuck out of it. It's going to be beautiful, and we're going to take pride in it. You want to put us in here? Fine. This is our goddamn home.
Well,
we're going to be proud of it now.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because we haven't gotten to that. Let us not forget, okay, what pride represents. Okay? Pride happened 50 years ago. Today, really, was the start of the gay liberation movement. And what was it, okay? It was the cops coming into Stonewall. And then suddenly the neighbors and everybody saying enough is enough. And who started it? You should know this, Chrissy.
Yes, I'm letting you go.
Transgender females, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not forget who initiated the whole thing.
Right.
You know, but everybody came together at that point in time. It didn't matter what little tiny box within the community they were. And let's not forget that there were straight gay allies involved in this too.
Right.
Let's take a look at everything. And so pride began that way. And so the liberation was, you know, we are here now. You're not going to get rid of us. And as the first show that we had in this series, my friend Richard, who was the second president of the GAA, Gay Activist Alliance, from 1970 to 71, and what they did is they did political zaps. You know, they would go and take over congressmen, you know, politicians' offices and things like that. But all this started because the oppression was too much. And let's take a look at the progress. You know, nowadays we actually have a gay married candidate for the Democratic nomination for president.
A gay married Christian candidate.
Yes. Now, a lot of people would look at him like, he's too conservative. He's too this. He's too that. Fuck you. He's gay. He's part of the coalition, people. Duh. Seriously.
Yeah.
And whether or not you agree with his politics, that's not the matter. The matter is support him because he's a good representation for the community. And he's just going to make things easier. And it's the progress is amazing. Take a look at all the gay characters now on TV that are much more positive representations than they were 40 years ago. Okay? Look at all of this. Okay? But we're not done. And one of the things that's holding us back is the divisions within our own community. And I say our community because whatever you want to say I am, I'm part of the community. Whether I'm straight, gay, bi, you know, or I was hatched from an alien, who the fuck cares? I don't care. It's my community because it's an oppressed community and I've been oppressed and I'm there with you. And that's all there is to it. And that's what we have to understand. It is our knowledge and acknowledgement of other people's difficulties of how they've overcome certain things. That if we've overcome anything in terms of being oppressed, whether it be income, whether it be sexuality, whether it be being a woman and just being a female, whatever the case would be, you know what? If we get to know each other, we understand that we can make a larger community and a larger impact on how this world can be. And you know what? Maybe I am a goddamn optimist and dreamer. But, you know, as a Christian, it's our job to try to make heaven on earth. And you know what? We don't do that by screaming and yelling at each other and killing each other and beating each other just because we're fucking gay. We do that by kindness. One of my favorite quotes comes from Kurt Vonnegut, and it's from the novel God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. And the main character, his daughter, has two twins. And he's talking to the two babies. And it's basically, you know, you probably want to crawl back into the womb, but it's not going to happen. You know, and he goes on, but the main thing is, you know what? You may live 100 years, but the main thing is, whatever you do, God damn it, be kind to babies. Be kind. And that is what we need to do to everybody. And I think the soapbox is starting to sag a little bit. So I'm going to get it back to Doc. I'm going to give it to Doc. Doc, what do you think?
Well, boy, I'm having so many technical difficulties over here. I do apologize. There it goes.
Oh, no!
Well, very convincing.
Thank you. We are having some technical goof-ups, but that's okay because we're doing a good job tonight.
Well, you had to check the union head to make sure the glass could break.
Yeah. A little bit of a delay in the answer on that one. We need a work order. Anyway. Yes. I was actually working. I had a request from Carl for me to pull up a song. I was having some technical difficulties with it, but I think we got it. So
okay,
I definitely agree with what Carl says and what Chrissy says about this. We just need to get along, people. You know, who cares if you know, somebody slightly different or seriously different. It doesn't matter. We are all people, and that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And also, don't, if, okay, this is going to be a little bit blunt, but it's going to be meaningful. There is a big, when it comes to religion, like Carl was saying about being Christian, there is a big difference between being a Christian and a jerk who claims to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you could be Christian, but not follow the teachings and say, you know, and have these negative thoughts and feelings towards people. Or you could be a good Christian and say, you know what, one of the biggest teachings we've ever had is to be kind and love one another. That is the biggest thing that has been preached throughout the years. Not that hard. I mean, and that's coming from a guy who's not very religious at all. So just, if you're going to claim you're a good person, you better act like one. So there.
Okay, so Chrissy, what do you think? I know I went off for a while there.
I think Doc hit it on the head. I have to say this show has given me a lot of food for thought. You've had some very good things to say that, given recent events in my life, some of which we've discussed, it gives me things to think about.
Well, you know, that was sort of the idea here. Okay, I'll be honest. This is my soapbox. Okay, this is where I get to say what I want to say. It doesn't happen often, but I thought that this would be appropriate time to do so. And you know what? I'm going to say something else before we end up here. That, you know, being kind to someone is probably the most difficult thing to do when you're diametrically opposed with someone. Okay? It is so, so difficult. And our natural defensive mechanism, like, go fuck this. You know, I don't need this. And,
yes.
And sometimes it's best to walk away. Sometimes it is just best to walk away. I don't decry anyone that. But you know, the thing is to be kind, to make peace. All these type of things are very, very difficult. And for someone to say, well, you know, it's easy to be kind. No, it's not.
No.
No. Okay, so I know what I'm asking is very, very difficult. But I think if we take a look at this and listen to it, you know, and think about what's being said here, then I think it's a good thing. So Doc, before we get into the end song and that sort of thing, can I hear the breaking glass and the Wilhelm scream one more time? Is that possible?
Yes, it is. Okay. If I... God, I love that scream.
I like it.
May I pipe in with one more thing?
Go ahead.
One of the other hats I wear, one of my other identities is that of a Buddhist. And one of the primary tenets of Buddhism is to have compassion even on the ignorant, maybe especially on the ignorant. And the people, obviously, that someone like me is most inclined to be combative toward is probably going to be an ignorant person saying something out of ignorance. And I'm also reminded, I don't know what philosophy this came from, probably many, the idea that maybe there's no point in engaging in a battle if there's no victory to be won from it. So,
actually,
again,
I think that actually comes from Nietzsche.
You may
I'm
be
not
right.
Sure.
I like Nietzsche.
But I do too. I'm you know, never mind. We're not going to get there. But yeah,
nope.
I also appreciate some of Nietzsche. But that seems to me it might be Nietzsche. Go ahead.
No, that's it. I that was my little Jerry Springer wrap up.
Okay. So before we go, Doc, you have something planned for Sunday on the Legion?
Yes, I do. I do. This Sunday, our show, Sludge Pit, will be doing like a week wrap up and what we've been doing since the last time we had a show. So we'll be talking about Monster Bash, some little projects here and there, and Danae may have a movie review for us. And I'm going to have a pretty cool surprise if I can swing it and get the files taken care of. We may have a little bit of something to listen to for about 20 minutes. That could be really cool.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to have some surprises. And we actually have our show for next week figured out, too. We will be doing a live watch of Happiness of the Katakuris. It's a really strange
movie. Oh, nice. I love that movie.
That sounds titillating.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to have a good time.
And it's good. That's a good one. That's a good one. So Chrissy, I know you've got a series upcoming in July sometime. Do you want to give a nice little plug on what you're planning?
Yes, it's going to be a series on how LGBTQIA have been dealt with in cinema, using as a rough outline Peter Russo's book, The Celluloid Closet. And that will start sometime in July, more firm date TBA.
Okay. And right now, all I can tell you is that I will have shows. I have some things happening this next coming 2 weeks where I have my part-time job has expanded quite a bit because I'll be covering people for vacation. So I'm not sure when, but I do know that I'll be teaching on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I may or may not do a show, or we may record and do it on Monday or something. I haven't decided yet. So I may take a week off. I may not. I don't know. So that's basically what we've got for the Legion right now. I'm also working with Mika to see if she can return sometime in July. So we're working on that too. So I'm going to end up with a song and – okay, go ahead. Finish up, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's excellent. That Mika will be hopefully coming back.
Yeah. So we're going to end up with a song, and hopefully download it correctly. This is a song by Joe Jackson. This was one of my anthems many, many years back. And I'd like you guys to stick around and listen to it. And then we'll have something to say at the end of it. This song is called Fit, and it's by Joe Jackson. Go ahead, Doc. Hit it with us. Pick it up at volume 2.
Okay. Standing in their way.
That, my friends, is a powerful song. What do you think? Chrissy, have you ever heard that before?
Earlier this week when you played it for me.
Yeah. Now that's... What about you, Doc? Have you ever heard that before?
This is my first time hearing it.
And?
You know, and having problems fitting in myself, it's very powerful, very deep, because it says if you don't fit into what people expect you to be, that's okay. Just be yourself and don't fit in.
Yeah. And you know what? As Frank Zappa said, you know, to all the beautiful people in the world, there are a lot more of us ugly motherfuckers than you, so watch the fuck out.
I love Zappa.
Listen, my friends in the community, to everyone out there, this is the weekend. Sunday is the parade. Happy Pride, everyone. Say it with me, guys. Happy Pride!
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
All right, good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.